said it was probably a good idea, since I wasn't gonna work it out.
Because by the time we get done.
You didn't work out.
I got one.
Always. Oh. I work out. And I'm usually always cold.
Is it getting to be that time? This is our shift this morning.
Two minutes.
There has been a snowplow down there. We wouldn't have been able to come out.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Those of you that are here and those on Facebook. Welcome to First Christian Church Colorado Springs. We are so glad you have chosen this place of worship to honor the Lord's name with us. Whether you are joining us in person or through Facebook, we are blessed by your presence. For those of you worshiping with us in person, we ask that you would sign the burgundy attendance folder found on the inside of your pew. If you are new to church, please give us a way to contact you on this form. For those worshiping on Facebook, please let us know you are worshiping by adding a comment to the Facebook view. Please join me in a call to worship. Stand if you are able. Children of God, welcome.
Welcome to this place of love and grace.
Welcome to this place of hope and perseverance.
God invites all of us to be a part of the beloved community.
God invites us all of us to share in the good news.
We are welcome just as we are. We are loved just as we are.
In gratitude for all of this, let us worship God. Our opening hymn is number 565, If You Will Trust in God to Guide You. Please join me in prayer. God, in this sacred space, we come together as one, bound by our faith in you. We pray for unity among our congregation, that our hearts beat in harmony with your divine love. Help us set aside our differences and focus on a common thread that binds us, our love and devotion to you. As we join our voices in worship, may our unity be a testament to the power of love and faith. May it inspire others to seek the bond of fellowship that only you can provide. We trust in your grace to strengthen our unity. And with our gratitude and unity in our hearts, we say, Amen.
Amen.
This morning's announcements. If I can find them in my shuffling of papers here. I'm going to start with the joys and concerns. We have quite a number of people who require prayer. Jen Candib is scheduled for cataract surgery. We ask that you would keep Karen and Glenn Tamlinson in your in our prayers. Kathy Jones' daughter, Kylie, is undergoing testing and treatment for health issues. Sally Maxwell's daughter, Janice, who is in hospice care in Florida. Katie continues to need our prayer, as she is having continues with PT on her shoulder and ankle. And I still believe she has some plumbing issues at home that she's working through as well. Patty Maxwell has been absent from church office this week due to influenza A, RSV, and now bronchitis. Wilma Brown has been reported that she has stopped eating and drinking at this time. Prayers are requested for Andy Schmidt as he is sick with the flu. And continued from last week, keep Mario in prayer. Also continue to pray for Jimmy Osborne, who is dealing with deteriorating health. And continued prayer also for Chris Long and his family. As far as announcements, on February 14th, we will be observing an ecumenical Ash Wednesday service with First Baptist Church. We will hold two services, one at noon here at First Christian and another at 6 p.m. at First Baptist. The services will be jointly led by leadership from both churches, so please join us at a time and place that's convenient for you. If you choose to join us at First Baptist, there's a handicap parking available on Kiowa between Weber and Wasatch. Our speaker today is Shelley Jensen. Shelley is the CEO and founder of Working Fusion. One of the ministries is embodied in Working Fusion at Mill Street, a tiny home village. And I apologize as I'm shuffling papers again. Working Fusion welcomes young adults home and breaking cycles of poverty. Shelley will be sharing the work to prevent homelessness among young adults between 18 and 25. They do this by providing safe, dignified housing within a small, supportive community, individualized trauma response therapies, life skills, education, living wage, career placement. The noisy offering that we collect today will be given to Working Fusion to help support their ministry. As we continue in the heart of the cold, flu, and COVID season, we want to share our love with those in our congregation who may be more susceptible to respiratory transmitted viruses. After conferring with our physician consultant, we are encouraging our deacons to wear masks as we pass out communion elements and offering plates today. Additionally, we are asking that you make hugs during the passing of peace, virtual hugs. Please respect the decisions of those who remain seated during the passing of peace by sharing peace with and love with smiles and waves. Shall we greet each other in the sign of God's peace? Thank you. And now Dale and Derek are going to lead our children's moment.
Good morning. Did anybody have snow outside their house today?
Yes.
Did you like it? It's pretty good for making snowmen, I think. No? Snowballs? That's great. It's amazing how much different a day can be. If it was snow falling, it felt like we were in a snow globe, didn't it? It was coming down so big.
So, snow falls.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like 53 degrees outside. Snow hasn't melted after a day. And it's still there. After like over 12 hours.
It's practically a miracle.
Like I made snowball this big, and it hasn't melted one bit.
Wonderful.
It takes like 3,500 days for a sun to rotate about our whole entire Earth, and that would take like 25 weeks. But for us, it just takes a whole day. But for outer space, that's a light can move 2,478 miles an hour.
That's really fast. And I think it's probably time to pray now.
No, that's right. 44 hours and 2 seconds.
Amazing. Creator God, thank you for creating wonder. Thank you for creating us to be wondering about it. It's a wonderful world, and we're happy to be with each other. We praise you and honor you in all that we think and do. Amen.
Our noisy offering today is for working fusion. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the following people: for Jen, for Karen and Glenn, for Kylie, for Janice, for Katie, for Patty, for Wilma, for Andy, for Mario, for Jimmy, and for Chris. We pray, Father, that you will take us as we are, strengthen us when we are weak, help us to be responsible with the blessings you provide for us. Father, let your loving kindness shine upon us and on those we love. Shine upon those who are suffering, upon those who are sick, and upon those who have experienced grief and loss. We ask this as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself as he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." For our ministry lesson this morning, I'd like to have you welcome Shelley Jensen. Shelley is with Working Fusion at Mill Street.
Good morning. I'm thrilled to be here. Whenever I am able to speak about what we're doing in a church or with other believers, it is just thrilling for me, because the only reason I'm doing what I'm able to be doing is because of God. So I thank you so much for this opportunity. And I'm honored to have it be a ministry lesson. So if I were to title this, I would title this journey that I've been on for the last 7 years, "Our God is a Big God." Amen. I want to give you a little background. I started We Fortify, which is the nonprofit, and Working Fusion about 7 years ago. Prior to that, while we were raising our family, we have 2 children, we had a philosophy where we would help anyone who came across our path for as long as they wanted and as long as we were able. And with that ideology, we happened upon some people who desperately needed some help. That put us on a path of going to court with them and fighting evictions, taking care of their children while they were in jail, avoiding drug abuse and seeing what that did to their path, housing them in hotels, buying groceries, etc. And I know now that God was training me up for what I'm doing now. I didn't know it then. I just thought I was trying to live the way God had intended. 2 people had a very large impact on that journey, and one was one of my girlfriends who lived in the Broadmoor, who's now homeless because of a mental illness. I just couldn't wrap my mind around that, and it created, I think, what our therapist in the village calls a righteous anger. The next people that changed that, or helped shift that trajectory as well, was a mother who, or a grandmother who had 5 of her grandchildren that she was the guardian of because her daughters were drug addicts. And to see her strength and courage and her perseverance every day Getting all of those kids to school was amazing to me. And I just really admired her. But I also saw how just the price of gas or an electric bill shifted how she lived. And it drove me crazy. So my children, my daughter went to high school, and I decided that I just really needed something to do. I get bored pretty easily. And I started thinking about how I could have an impact on this demographic and what it would look like. People talk about ending homelessness, and I honestly don't think we ever will. And the reason for that is that there are so many people out there who have addictions and mental illnesses, and we still don't have a great way of managing that and helping them. What we can do is help the people who want the help, and we can also work on prevention, and that's where our company comes in. We Fortify is the nonprofit, and Working Fusion is our first development. It's a tiny home village, as Jack stated, and it provides dignified housing for young adults between the ages of 18 and 25. This was very intentionally designed. I researched this for about a year and a half. I flew to Nicaragua, Guatemala, and India, and I stayed in dump villages, and it was there that I found the power of community, just like you have here. You're praying for others. Some of the happiest children that I saw while I was on travel were some of the most impoverished, but man, did they have love. So I came back and I started researching and then speaking to a lot of executive directors within town and created our programming, or what our board calls our secret sauce. And that is not just the dignified housing, but it's community. And it's a small, intentional community of people who care for each other. It's also trauma-informed therapy that is on-site. So many of the problems that our impoverished have are that they don't have consistent trauma-informed therapy. And if you don't take care of the trauma, and I'll talk to that about that in a minute, it's really difficult to move forward, because trauma in your brain, the physical part of it, creates behaviors where you make decisions that are mostly emotional versus logical. And when that occurs, it's very difficult for someone to move forward in a healthy path. And so we have the trauma-informed care, we have the dignified housing, we also have life skills. So many of our residents came from extremely unhealthy, volatile family situations that they missed a lot of the life skills that they had, or that many of us grew up with. And then we try to provide training and career placement for them so that they can be sustainable when they leave. What's been tough about this, but I know that God has allowed it, is hearing the stories. Last week, we did two interviews with two more residents, because we have homes, and when those are kind of my favorite times, but they're also the most heartbreaking. We have residents in our village who we cannot let their families know where they are because of fear of violence. We have our first sex trafficked individual. We have abandoned children. And then most recently, last week, we were interviewing a young lady, and we said, you know, I was just really excited to meet her. I was like, okay, so tell me about yourself. And the first thing she said was, well, at 6 years old, I was forced to witness my mother's assisted suicide. So when we are in environments where we are talking to people about impoverished, I hope that we can start saying, what is your story? Because I don't know many people who could get up every day like she is and work on her future. These residents have more resiliency in their pinkies than I have in my entire body, and I am grateful to God that I get to serve them. We have 16 homes on site. We'll have 18 by April. And we are just thrilled to be able to do this. We have two new developments that we're doing. We have decided to create two divisions within our organization. One is to support our missional vision, and those are called Elevate Villages. And the other division is called our Noble Village. And our Noble Village will provide housing for police officers, firefighters, teachers, nurses, etc. So I believe that our company is really starting to kind of shape the way Colorado Springs lives, and we're very honored to have that opportunity. And we have a video of what our first teacher village will look like. It's in Harrison District 2, and it was the brainchild of the superintendent. And if any of you know Dr. Wendy, I know that you're impressed with her. She received the Superintendent of the Year Award last year in 2023, and she came to our village and said, "Could I just have a tour?" And I said, "Sure, of course." So we gave her the tour, and she said, "You know what? I want you to build one for us." And at first I thought, no, we can't do that, it's outside our mission. But then I thought, you know what, this would be something that would create a modest income and we could use to help support our missional villages. So with that, if we could start the video, I'd like to share this with all of you. This is what we're currently raising money for. We're really excited. This village is going to be located on a school site, which I think might be one of the first in the country. Well, while he's working on that, I can tell you the why behind this. Right now, when school district, our Harrison School District 2 hires a teacher, most of the time they are unable to afford apartments in Colorado Springs. They are renting rooms, like bedrooms, from families. They're couch surfing, and or they're living in like a two-bedroom apartment with about five or six people. It has gotten so bad for Harrison District 2 that they have had to fly to the Philippines to recruit teachers to be there. It's having a negative impact on their teaching ability because the teachers are getting sick because they're so stressed. This village will help with recidivism. Our God's a big God. And it will also, it will also decrease the stress and make it more available for teachers who want to stay in Colorado Springs and not have to drive from Peyton or Fountain to be able to do so. We are making sure that they are at 30% of AMI, which is why, again, it's a modest income, but it is an income. All of our, if I start to hear it, I'll stop. All of our Elevate villages, which are our young adult villages, will always operate at a deficit. And they do so because we have a 1-to-9 ratio of team member to resident, which is unheard of in this industry. Most people have a 1-to-30 or 1-to-45. So we meet with our residents every week, and we go through their empowerment plan, which is short-term and long-term goals that they came up with. So for an example, one might be, I need to get my driver's license, that's a short-term goal. And then the long-term goal is, I want to be a firefighter. And we work on both together in parallel. Oh, looks like it's... I don't know, I thought it was... Well, we will have this up on our new WeFortify website, and it will hopefully not do this. My brain kind of works backward, so when I came up with the program, I looked at what are the things that keep people in the generational poverty cycle, and we provided those solutions. We did our Working Fusion development website first, and now we're finally doing our corporate website, which is our WeFortify. So. That said, I've identified where we're at and how exciting it is. We have 8 of our 16 residents in school right now. And it's just so exciting to see them go from, I might be able to do this, to I can do it. A number of our residents come in without any trust capital, and that's something that we have to build. One of our questions that we always ask in our interviews is, who are your healthy supportive relationships? Oftentimes that's no one. So your scripture today was beautiful because it talked about how we're supposed to care for the least of these, and it's just each other. So we show them love first, and they really appreciate it. It's stunning to have someone tell you to stop talking and then tell you that you saved their life. That's something I still have to get used to. Oh. So this is the site, and what we'll be doing is we're shifting their field, their football field. We're moving it, it sits at an angle right now. We're moving it to the side and back. And then we're putting in a 40-unit housing development that is 20 duplexes. They're beautiful. Each one is 352 square feet. They come with a full bath, kitchen, and living space. It will have a community garden space and a community center where they can have events together or just reserve it. We hope that this can be a model for other cities. It's fun being a nonprofit developer because our goals really mesh with people who have needs. A number of for-profit developers I know in Denver are going into schools and saying, okay, sell me your land, and then we'll build it for you. I went in and said, I don't want to buy your land, but I still want to build this for you. So I know that we are doing God's work, and I can tell you that he's a big God because there's been a lot of tears, a lot of stress over this, and he continues to show up every day. So I don't know if any of you have any questions. I'd be happy to answer.
Shelley, what can we do to get help?
Well, we have a number of ways you can volunteer if you'd like. Our volunteers, if they want to work with our residents, they have to go through a trauma-informed curriculum. So what that looks like, it's just to help you understand what our residents have been through so that we don't trigger them while we're trying to help them. We have people who come in and teach our residents how to cook because most of them have just had fast food their whole lives. And it's so fun because one of our volunteers jumped off the deck of one of our houses and said, Alex, you're awesome. And he saw me and he said, I know how to make tacos. It's like, you know, those small wins are awesome. So you could definitely work with some of our residents. They need tutoring right now because we have so many in school, teaching them how to cook, driving them places, just being there to listen. We have one volunteer who just takes one of our kids to Topgolf. And it's just that camaraderie, that care. That's not us because we're, part of the team. We also have people who come in every Friday and help us keep our development beautiful. We received a statewide award in October, October 18th. We received a Chair's Award from Urban Land Institute of Colorado, which was an incredible, incredible, very humbling award. But one of the reasons that we did is that our property is gorgeous. We work together, every blade of grass that is planted on that, mulch, gravel, flowers, everything we do together on Fridays between 9 and 12. So if you would like to join that Fusion Friday team, it's a really great camaraderie that we have. And we come in and with our coffee cups and we're grungy and we just start pulling weeds and do whatever needs to be done. We also have an opportunity, if you're interested, to volunteer on our behalf at the Switchback Stadium. And we have a team of people who schlep hot dogs and hamburgers. And I've been a part of that as well, and it was really fun. I had no idea what Greek French fries were, but now I do. So there are a number of ways that you can volunteer. We are always in need of financing. We have a $6.4 million lift this year. Our teacher village will cost about $4 million, and our next young adult village, which we just received a grant for, will cost about $2.4 million. So again, our God is a big God, and it's going to happen. I don't know how, I keep hearing him say, just be patient. That's not easy when he puts all these ideas into my head. So volunteering, financial, prayer. We need prayer. And it's so hard to see the spiritual warfare that goes on around these kids. Just when they're about to launch, something happens. They could get offered more pot when they're trying to stop smoking. They could, you know, get offered alcohol when they're trying to stop drinking. They could have a family member come in and just trigger them to the point where they are almost in paralysis. So if you could please pray for these villages that we're building, I would certainly appreciate that. I see the spiritual warfare, and it's horrible. It's just horrible, and we need that. We need prayer. So I just want to thank you again for this opportunity, and I hope you all have a great day. Stay warm.
First of all, I'd like to apologize for our technical difficulties. And I have a question for you. If we Google Work Infusion at Mill Street, will we be able to find the videos that you have on your website that way?
Not on Work Infusion yet, but you will be able to find the D2 video on We Fortify once we get it launched, and that should be in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
We're working on it right now. But if you go to Work Infusion, you can see the tiny homes, inside the tiny homes. You can see our volunteers. You can see where the site. It's pretty fun.
If you didn't hear that, if you go to Working Fusion, there are examples of the homes that you can look at from that. Our friend Google. Our communion hymn today is This is the Day of New Beginnings, number 518.
This morning, I want us to remember that we have communion every Sunday, so we all, anyone, and everyone who will, might feed on and be refreshed by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time to reflect and celebrate the amazing sacrifice that set us free from the bondage of sin. Every time we partake of these communion elements, we remember that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray.
Creator God, because we have heard your good news, we come to worship. Because your Spirit has called us, we have responded. Because Christ has invited us to this table, we come now to break bread and drink from the cup. We remember now the Christ who called, who healed, who proclaimed your love, and who gave himself that we might have life. Bless us in your Spirit as we are fed by your grace and live in community. Amen.
God has shown us the meaning of generosity in the beautiful diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, and in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that blesses others through the sharing of our love, our talents, and our material possessions. Let us rejoice now in what we have been given, in what is ours to give as we receive our morning offering. Gracious God, with thanks we offer these gifts of our hands and the fruits of our labors. Accept them as expressions of our gratitude to the life and love you have given us. Our closing hymn this morning is number 66, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
We are thrilled today to have the Shermans come to us to join our congregation. And we want to welcome them, we want to show them how much we appreciate they are here. And as part of this process, we ask, and I should introduce them first before we ask, this is Steve, Aaron, and Gabe Sherman. They have come to us from a different city, correct?
Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Oak Ridge, Tennessee. We are pleased to have you here. And as part of our tradition as disciples of Christ, we're going to ask them to respond to a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and do you take him as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Thank you. I would ask that they join us at the back of the sanctuary after the service today so that we all have a chance to greet them. And we are so happy that you are here.
Thank you.
Let us go forth into the world in peace and dedicated to your service, O Lord. Let us hold fast to that which is good. Render to no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the needy and the afflicted. And honor all people. Let us love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. And may God's blessing be upon us and remain with us always. Amen.